Good morning. My name is Marcelo, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Secretaría de Hacienda y Crédito Público report on public finances and public debt for the third quarter of 2008. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, please press the pound sign. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Miguel Messenmacher. Mr. Messenmacher, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance conference call on the public finances and public debt report for the third quarter of 2008. Let me remind our friends from the press that this call is off the record. I will start with a very brief introduction of recent economic developments in Mexico and developments in public finances. And then Gerardo Rodriguez will talk about the recent evolution of public debt. Going first to macro developments, we estimate that GDP grew at an annual rate of close to 1.7% during the third quarter of 2008, which implies a positive expansion in seasonally adjusted terms. This estimation is based on the following results. During the July-August period of 2008, the Global Economic Activity Index, the IGAI, our monthly GDP proxy, grew 1.3% in real annual terms. The evolution by sector was the following. Primary activities increased at an annual rate of 0.3%, industrial production decreased by 1% in real annual terms, and the supply of services grew 2.8% in real annual terms as well. In terms of the components of aggregate demand, they have kept growing at a relatively high pace. During the third quarter of 2008, the real value of sales of stores affiliated to ANTAD grew 4.2% in real annual terms. In July 2008, gross fixed capital investment grew 12.3%. And during the third quarter of 2008, the nominal U.S. dollar value of total exports grew by 12.1%. Oil-related exports increased 32.3%. while agricultural, mining, and manufacturing exports increased 41.7%, 10.5%, and 7.5%, respectively. Imports of goods and services posted an annual increase of 16.8%. Capital, consumer, and intermediate goods imports grew 24.9%, 21.4%, and 14.6%, respectively, during the quarter. By the end of September 2008, the number of workers registered at IMSS was 14,440,000 people, implying an expansion of 233,000 jobs with respect to the same period of 2007. During this year, that is, from December of 2007 to September 2008, 340,000 formal jobs have been created. In September 2008, annual headline inflation was 5.47%, 0.21 percentage points higher than the one registered at the end of the second quarter of the year, which was 5.26%. During the third quarter of 2008, the stock market index of the Mexican stock market maintained a downward trend related to the volatility in global stock markets, higher risk aversion, and the deterioration of global economic perspectives. By the end of the third quarter, the stock market index had posted a 15.3% nominal decrease with respect to the closing value of June 2008. The spot exchange rate was 10.95 pesos per U.S. dollar on September 30th, which implies a nominal depreciation of 6.2% with respect to the closing value as of June 2008. Banking credit to households and firms posted an increase of 11.3% in real annual terms in August. At a more disaggregated level, credit for housing firms and individuals with entrepreneurial activities grew 10.8% and 20% in real annual terms, respectively, while consumer credit increased 1.4% in real annual terms, that is, adjusting for the creation of a Banamex form of credit cards. Moving on to public finances, during the January-September period of 2008, the public balance recorded a surplus of 140 billion pesos, amount that is lower by 3.4% with respect to that observed during the same period in 2007, but which nevertheless is consistent with the annual target of a balanced budget. The primary surplus up to September was 295 billion pesos, an amount that is 42 billion pesos lower than the one registered in 2007. The public sector's budgetary revenues were 2,073 billion pesos, 11.5% higher in real terms than the ones registered in the January-September period of 2007. Budgetary revenues were, in addition, 146 billion pesos higher with respect to the original program calendar for the year. That is, we're observing excess revenues with respect to what was expected of 146 billion pesos. During this period, oil revenues increased 19.7% in real terms, due mainly to the increase in the price of oil that compensated the effect of a lower production on oil export platforms, a real increase in the value of imports, and an observed exchange rate appreciation during the period with respect to what we had expected originally in the budget. Non-oil tax revenues grew by 11.3% in real annual terms with respect to the same period of last year. Worth noting are the real growth rates of 11.6% for the income tax unique rate corporate tax, that is the IETU, 10% for the value-added tax, and 5.9% for taxes on imports, respectively. During the January-September period of 2008, the net budgetary expenditures of the public sector totaled 1,940 billion pesos, 13.2% higher in real terms compared with the amount observed in the same period of 2007. Programmable expenditures were 1,448 billion pesos, which implies a 15.8% increase with respect to the same period of last year. Regarding public sector expenditures during the first 9 months of 2008, the following elements are worth highlighting. Expenditures channeled to social development were 7.9% higher in real terms. Expenditures on economic development increased 29.5% in real annual terms. Budgetary physical investment expenditures increased at a real annual rate of 23.5%, and physical investment fostered by the public sector grew by 14.4% in real annual terms. Federal resources transferred to states and municipalities increased 16.3% in real terms. In particular, shared revenues increased 21.9% in real annual terms. The public sector's financing cost decreased 16.1% in real terms compared with the same period of last year. As several of you know, there was a methodological change in terms of how we calculate the financing costs of firms, of government state-owned enterprises, particularly Pemex and CFE, whereas as of this year, we actually report their cost in net terms, that is, the interest paid minus interest earned on financial assets. This explains part of this very large decrease in terms of financing costs of 16.1%. If we control for that methodological change, we would nevertheless observe a reduction in financial costs of 4.3% in real annual terms. With that, we would finish the part on public finances, and I'll give the word to Gerardo Rodriguez on the evolution of public debt.
Thank you, Miguel. With regards to public debt, we can say that the level of external debt relative to GDP, which was reached at the end of the quarter, is the lowest level that we have observed in recent economic history in Mexico. Because of this, the fluctuation on the exchange rate evolution have had a marginal effect on the debt financing cost. By the end of the quarter, the federal government's net debt balance stood at 18.5% of GDP, which is an amount lower than the 18.9% level observed at the end of 2007. Within this number, domestic debt stood at 15.6% of GDP, while external debt was 2.9% of GDP. It is worth highlighting that the share of long-term fixed-rate government securities within domestic debt increased from 54% at the end of last year to almost 59% at the end of the third quarter of 2008. Similarly, the average maturity of domestic debt increased by 0.8 years, going from 5.59 to 6.41 years. Finally, the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirement which covers the obligations of the public sector as a whole, on balance and off balance components, it stood at 29 points of GDP, which is 0.8 percentage points of GDP lower than the level observed at the end of 2007. Most of that number corresponds to the domestic component of the historical balance of borrowing requirements, which is stood at 22.5 points of GDP, while the external component stood at 6.5% of GDP. With that, we conclude the introductory remarks, and we can proceed to the question and answer section. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to remind everyone that if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Our first question is from the line of Benito Berber with RBS. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you. Good morning. Thank you for the call, Gerardo and Miguel. I have two quick questions. The first one is with respect to the buyback announced recently of 40,000 million in maturities denominated in pesos and UDIBONOS. With what resources are you doing this buyback? And if that's going to be compensated with issuance of CETES? And the second question is, if growth in Mexico starts to decelerate beyond or, you know, to a lower rate than you projected in the 2009 budget, would you consider stopping the infrastructure projects at some point? Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Benito. With regards to the buyback that was announced in the middle of last week, we are yet to publish the specific rules with which we'll basically be executing in the marketplace the different operations of buyback of UDIBONOS and bonus. We have to understand this announcement as part of the package that was announced with the central bank early last week. And what we're doing here is basically taking advantage of the increase that we have observed in our cash balances over the past few years because of higher issuance of domestic securities than was projected. As you know, we have the Market Makers Program in which they can basically exercise a greenshoe option in which they demand additional securities after the primary auction. And based on that, we've been basically allocating a higher amount of government securities than was originally projected. And also we're taking advantage of say, seasonal increases in the cash balances within the Treasury. Those are going to be the resources with which we'll basically invest these cash balances in our own debt. We expect that in the next few years that we publish the rules, we'll also be able to share with market participants sort of the time frame in which we would expect to continue with this investment over the past several months. This is, as I mentioned, part of the initiatives that we think will help the market to correct itself just because of the distortions that we have observed in the past few weeks, both in the short end and in the long end of the curve. With regards to infrastructure projects, we do have, say, a pipeline which has been running for a few years of relatively small projects, most of them in the greenfield space. Toll roads, new toll roads get the largest share of these, say, of this set of projects, although we are also sponsoring water management plans and some water resource projects. All those projects haven't faced any difficulties in the execution phase. Let me give you an example. The Chihuahua bypass was awarded, say, in a new concession only recently, a few weeks ago, in which we got like seven or eight different bids within a relatively tight range. All of them come with their own financing, with their own bank financing, basically, to execute the projects. The road that goes from Oaxaca to Puerto Escondido also was awarded only a few weeks ago, in which three very competitive bids were received, again, with the capital structure that includes a participation of banking institutions. And then more recently, last week, we got bids for the La Piedad bypass, which all of them are relatively small projects. I'm talking here, say, from $100 to $200 million projects. And in this last project, we received nine different bids, again, in a relatively tight range, which speaks a lot about, say, the continued possibility of executing these type of projects, even in a more difficult market environment. We are looking very closely at the evolution of bank financing for infrastructure to assess whether our ambitious agenda for infrastructure projects is doable at the pace that we were expecting or not. It is difficult to conclude otherwise with the information that we have right now. We are pushing with government, with the different government resources, the infrastructure agenda. We think that based on current economic conditions, it is time to push faster the infrastructure agenda rather than slow it down. The main constraint here will be the availability of financing, especially in the banking sector, and we're taking a look at that, especially in the big projects. Now there are two FARAC packages of roads coming up. There is the Punta Colonet project. There is the Trenes Suburbanos here in Mexico City. Although all those very big projects are substantially more difficult to get the capital structure in place in current market environment. So we're talking with participants in all those big projects. They are asking us to delay the dates just because they're having a hard time on getting all the financing ready. We're trying to help them with the National Infrastructure Fund, and hopefully next year we'll be able to execute even these relatively big projects. Thank you.
Benito, perhaps just to complement on Gerardo's answer, also from the point of view of fiscal resources.
Yeah,
I think he made a very clear point that there is a very significant amount of investment in infrastructure that we expect to take place, which will be taking place with the use of private resources, either through private concessions or with the uses from the National Infrastructure Fund, which in principle is funded. So that is not the resources in the National Infrastructure Fund would not really be affected by a lower pace of economic activity. Now, regarding the availability of public resources, something that is, I think, pretty important is that as part of the reform that we did to the fiscal responsibility law, we allowed for the use of the resources in the oil stabilization fund also for the case when we would observe lower non-oil tax revenues associated perhaps with a level of lower economic activity if that scenario that you were mentioning materializes. So in that respect, we can use the resources, perhaps we should call them now more like general stabilization funds, more than just oil stabilization funds, in the sense that we can use them both for lower oil revenues as well as for lower non-oil tax revenues. The adjustment makes sense from a structural point of view in the sense that the resources are fed with income coming both from oil income sources as well as non-oil income sources. And in the past, excess revenues fed into the funds have come as well from non-oil tax revenue. So in that respect, we are not anticipating on having to make any type of expenditure adjustments during next year, given the level that we're expecting the funds will end up in 2008, as well as the resources that they will probably be receiving during 2009. One last comment is that, as you know, we also, as part of the reform to the fiscal responsibility law, we allowed the government to have a deficit that is equal to the level of investment of Pemex. And in that sense, this also sort of provides a cover for the level of investment in Pemex, in the sense that it will not need to be adjusted in the very extreme case where we would actually end up observing lower level of income. So in that respect, both from what Gerardo mentioned and from the point of view of public resources, we think that it's highly unlikely that we would have to make downward adjustments to the level of investment overall.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And it appears there are no further questions at this time. Mr. Messenmacher, do you have any closing remarks you'd like to make?
Could you just please check one last time if there are any additional questions?
Absolutely, sir. And actually, one person has come in a queue. We had you have a question from the line of Eduardo Torres with BBVA. Please go ahead with your question.
Thanks. Good morning. Thanks for hosting this conference. I would like to ask you, what's your view on the 2009 economic context? Are you a little bit more optimistic than or pessimistic than what you were anticipating just a few months ago, since this recent turmoil in financial markets has increased in September and October? Thanks.
Sure. Well, as you know, we basically reviewed and we sent this whole revision of the macro framework for the budget for 2009, where we reduced the expected growth rate from a level of 3% for 2009 to 1.8% for 2009. This level of 1.8% is still perhaps a bit more optimistic than what other people have. As you know, Banco de Mexico very recently published projections where they are expecting the growth rate to be between 0.5 and 1.5% for 2009. I guess without knowing the underlying assumptions behind Banxico's projections, my guess is that perhaps some of this difference arises due to differences in terms of how they are observing perhaps the international framework. Our forecast of 1.8 percentage points growth of a growth of 1.8% for 2009 is consistent with a growth rate of close to 0% for the U.S. So obviously, if you have a more pessimistic scenario for the U.S., perhaps one would want to revise the forecast downwards. Now, something that is important in terms of our 1.8% forecast is that it also incorporates the additional fiscal stimulus that was proposed as part of the package, which is equivalent to about 0.5, 0.6 percentage points of GDP. And that could be explaining some of the difference that we observe with respect to some of the other projections, even controlling for a similar scenario in the U.S.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypads. We'll pause again to compile the roster. And it does appear that there are no other questions at this time. Do you have any final remarks, Mr. Messenmacher?
I wanted to thank everybody for participating and to remind everybody that if they have any additional questions or comments, they can always reach us at the Investors Relations Office in the Ministry of Finance. And thank you very much, everybody.
This does conclude today's conference call. We'd like to thank you for your participation and ask that you now please disconnect.